I'm not. There you go. Hello.
Hello.
Mike. I hear Mike. Nick.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. All right, you gentlemen ready? Clear your phones out. No muffled sounds, please.
I hear Ken.
You don't hear Nick?
Can you hear me, Mike?
I'm getting to you.
Can you hear me now, Mike?
I hear Nick. I heard Nick before.
All right. Everybody hear everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. You don't have to stick around. I can stop and you can come back and get it. You don't have to. We're good, though, right? Okay. All right, let's get it going. It's the first one without Blake, so let's see what happens here. Are you ready, gentlemen?
Yes.
3, 2, 1. Hiccuping. And we're here on... Damn, I'm doing a fucking hiccup. Hold on. Okay. And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WJR Radio. Mike O'Hara, Lions aficionado, and Nick Roddy, WJR, as we talk Lions football. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Ken Brown.
Hello.
Roddy, this is three podcasts in a row now. You almost got your punch card filled out.
I'm almost an aficionado.
You're almost. Well, gentlemen, the 7-1 Detroit Lions, can you believe that after 8 games, the first half of the season, let's just call it the first half, 7-1. First of all, get your thoughts on that after a victory that was even more impressive than the final score against the Green Bay Packers up in Lambeau Field. Tell me about it, Roddy.
They played better than the score even. And there was a lot of talk about it being such a big game, and Green Bay didn't seem like they came to play. And I know the weather and Jordan Love's injury kind of had something to do with that, but I just think the Lions dominated in all aspects of the game.
Hey, Mike, I want to ask you, even though they dominated the game, do you think they pulled up after halftime because of the weather and just make sure you don't turn the ball over? And, well, after 24-3. I say after they got the 24th point. It was more like they probably could have scored 30, 35 on them, I thought. I thought they just wanted to make sure there was no sloppy mistakes or turnover that would put Green Bay back in the game. And they kind of just played the clock really in the second half of the third quarter on.
Well, I think they played good, solid ball from beginning to end. But I somewhat agree with what you said. Look, the hay was in the barn. That was it. And it's out there pouring rain. There was no need for the Lions to try to prove anything at that time. The game was won.
Yeah. And, Roddy, I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I just thought that it was, to me, it was two teams out there, and one of them was clearly better.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they didn't really play that well, and they dominated it. So, the division is there for the taking. I'm not sure there's going to be much competition in the division that play like that.
Well, they got the two hardest division games out of the way. I don't think the Chicago road game is as hard as those two, even though we haven't had a lot of luck in Chicago over the last three or four years. I think they won one, but that was Okuda's interception, if I remember. And I just think that's not going to be as hard a game as these two. So if they even win 5 of the 6 division games, that's a hell of a season. But you might as well go for the sweep now.
Well, he might as well, but yeah, 5-1 is a pretty good score for me.
Yep, especially in the best division in the league.
Yeah. So back to the story here. We'll put it like this. Let's just go first half, and then we'll get into the trade deadline and things that did or did not happen or things during that game. One thing I do want to talk about during that game was Brian Branch's ejection fair. And I'm just going to ask both of you guys. You know where I stand on it. I thought the only reason they threw him out is because of what happened earlier in the New Orleans Saints game with Chris Olave going, getting carted off by ambulance. And I thought that they were being overly cautious on a national TV game.
Well, Ken, I think you're right. I don't think it warranted him being ejected. But it was something he could have avoided easily, not make that play that way, not pile on, not go for the headshot. I don't know if he did that intentionally or just got carried away or whatever, but it was the wrong play. And I think that Dan Campbell has said it too, lower your target. don't go for the head.
Well, yeah, it was a bad play. And penalty-wise, I'm not upset with that at all. And, Roddy, I don't know. I don't even know what he was really doing because he had two or three steps to pull up. And even if he wanted to deliver a hit, he didn't have to deliver it with the shoulder head. He could have just ran through him, and he might have got a call. He might not have. But I just thought it was a bad play by Branch. And then to make matters worse, once you get the 15-yard penalty, the finger sign to the crowd for another 15, that just puts your team in bad shape. And that was even before he got thrown out, I think. Did he do the fingers before he got thrown out or after? I think it was before. Maybe it was after. But anyway, why give another 15?
I think it was after.
Maybe it was after. Yeah. But why do another 15?
Stop talking at the refs, though. I mean, Amik Robertson kind of had the same thing later in the game. Like, just play.
Yeah, Danique Robinson, I'm going to be fair to him. Unless they had another view I saw, he wasn't anywhere near the receiver. He was talking, like he was talking to the stands. I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure something happened when the ref wouldn't have threw the flag.
But, I mean, he was talking earlier in the game, too, and some of his teammates had to kind of rush in and pull him back. But, I mean, let your play do with the talking. And they usually do a good job of that for the most part. But.
Yeah,
it was not a warranted ejection on Brian Branch. Going back to that, no. I mean, I don't recall anyone being ejected for something like that. There's no targeting in the NFL.
No, so you're right.
I don't get where they came up with that rule.
No, you're right. You're right. So, but overall, I thought it was a great game. I really was impressed with Jahmyr Gibbs running in the rain, and of course, Rob Montgomery every week. Now, you know, he's a plotter anyway, so he runs. The running game, to me, is the most impressive part of their offense so far this year. I'm sorry. Even though Jared Goff is exceptionally accurate, but just the running game. And you know that hurt me to say that. I know that you're laughing. I know that hurt me to say that. But I just thought the running game makes that team in the offensive line.
Well, the offensive line, for sure. I mean, if you watch a lot of TV like I do, when they're talking football and they're talking the Detroit Lions, the first thing they mention is the offensive line. It's the best in the National Football League.
And Roddy, Taylor Decker had rebounded from a pretty much subpar couple of games. I thought he played excellent. I that's the Taylor Decker I expect for the money and for the extra years put on his contract.
Yeah, I mean, and Rashawn Gary, I think, was mostly over Sewell. I don't remember them calling Rashawn Gary's name all day. He's one of the best ends pass rushers in the league. So, yeah, offensive line held up well. And, I mean, it's the best offensive line in all of football.
Now, we did have problems on defense, to me, the defensive line not getting enough pressure. Could you relate that to the fact that it was a rainy day and that was the problem, or was it a problem with the people we have out there now? Because they definitely didn't get enough pressure on Love. You missed a couple of players. Not only was Hutchinson missing, but Pascoe was missing, you know, and James Houston was missing, but I guess he was on the field missing, but he was still missing. And do you think it was the elements why that pass rush was not there, Mike?
No, I don't. I think that's been a problem they've had off and on all season, you know, all the games now and more on than off. I think that's something they had to really strengthen for the second half run if they're going to do what they want to do.
Yeah. And, Roddy, the last thing on that is, were you happy with the inside, though? Another running back, you know, Jacobs almost got 100 yards. I ended up with 95. He was 5 yards away. They haven't allowed a 100-yard run in a while, but the last couple of weeks there are some running lanes going and some their backs are getting yards now. Is that something temporary, or you think this is a problem they're going to have to address?
I think they'll be okay against the run. They've been pretty good against the run all season. I don't know what to expect out of this defense. I mean, they only scored one touchdown, so I think we need to give them a little bit of a break here. Granted, they didn't sack Jordan Love. They did pick him off for a touchdown, which was that broke the game open. But they can't do everything. We know the talent on defense isn't there, especially on the defensive line, so I don't know what our expectations are for the defense, but I think they lived up to expectations at least. They only scored 14 points.
No, scoring-wise, I think I was reading they're really high-ranked, you know, scoring alignment. They don't give up a lot of points. They really tighten up in the red zone. But I just want to see if they're going to go all the way, and from this point on, that's all we're talking about, the way to get to the Super Bowl. because until they prove otherwise, that's what they're playing for. I just think they got to improve that pass rush. Now, speaking of that, the game ends. Trade deadline is Tuesday, election day. Nothing happens on Monday. But Tuesday, there are a lot of moves made. Not as many as I thought around the league, but moves were made. And the Lions did acquire a pass rusher from the Cleveland Browns. Nope, not Myles Garrett. Za'Darius Smith. No Myles Garrett. Yeah, they got Za'Darius Smith, defensive end. He's been around the league. He's been Baltimore. He's been in Minnesota. He's been at Green Bay. Good player. Good player. They gave up, I think they gave up, a, what, they gave up a fourth and fifth round, a fifth round and a sixth rounder. And they got back a seventh rounder, I believe what it was, or whatever it was. They got back a talent without giving up a lot to me, even though I guess in terms of draft, you gave up two picks. So what do you guys think about that trade?
Well, I thought they got the best of what they could. It was the best available, and they got it. And I think it was something they needed. And I think he should be a guy who can help the Detroit Lions. I mean, starting late, starting out, too. Not, you know, groove them in for a week or two. I think right from the get-go, he can play, start, and help the Detroit Lions.
Roddy?
I mean, I think it's a great trade. You probably got the best player that was traded on the trade deadline. A lot of fans are saying, oh, they didn't give up anything. I mean, you give up two picks, I know you're getting a seventh back, but you give up a fifth and a sixth. I mean, Brad Holmes can turn that into two players for you. So they did give up something. Now, I do think it helps that he's signed for next season. I think that's an added bonus. He's not a rental. He's not going to be here for half a year. So when Aiden Hutchinson comes back fully next season, that's going to be quite the defensive end duo. So I think it's a great trade.
Yeah, he's Marcus Davenport next year. You know, the money you spent for Marcus Davenport next year, if he stays healthy, that's what you're going to get next year. He's going to be the opposite end of Hutch. He's a defensive end. He'll do, you know, get you eight sacks and probably somewhere in there, hopefully. And that's what Davenport was going to be here for. It's just replacing a guy that got injured. Now, I am disappointed they didn't go get another guy. And they had the rest of the day. This was done early on Tuesday morning. They should have went out and tried to get another guy. I know Myles Garrett or Max Crosby weren't available, even though you asked. But I thought they should have brought in another guy because I still say they need to go get one more either rush linebacker or defensive end and rotate them because right now you don't know if Pascal is going to play. He's always injured. You know, you're putting a defensive tackle out of the end and on Zarike. And I just think they need one more. Did you think they should have made another move, Mike?
Well, if it was there for them, I don't – I haven't seen anything that says that was the case. So I think I don't think they did anything wrong there. I thought they were fine.
And Roddy, should they have went out and got? I know there's rumors of a guy from the New Orleans Saints that Carpenter or whatever his name was. I think they were rumored too. He's a defensive end, but nothing ever developed. The New York player, they weren't trading. Evidently, they wanted a lot for him. I was comfortable if they gave up a second round pick for the right player. I don't care about the draft picks next year. Are we trying to win this year? It seems like Brad wasn't going to give up any of the premium picks, Roddy.
No, I don't think he should. I mean, I don't think there was a player worthy of giving up a second-round pick for if it wasn't included in a Myles Garrett or Max Crosby trade. So I'm fine with the move they made. I mean, their defense is playing well. They got added a pass rusher. They're going to win if they win the Super Bowl, it'll be with their offense and their offensive line. And the defense will just kind of be supplementary. So their defense isn't going to carry them anywhere. And especially there aren't any great offenses in the NFC that you have to look out for.
I think Philly's offense is one you got to keep an eye on. I didn't say that.
Keep an eye on it.
I think you got to keep an eye on it.
The offense I'm really scared of is Baltimore, which you'd face in the Super Bowl.
Well, that'd be the Super Bowl. But I'm scared of Philly's offense. I think Philly – with Saquon Barkley now, and you got A.J. Brown, and you got the receiver from Alabama. I think you got Smith. I think you got that's a formidable offense, and they got a good offensive line. That's a team to watch out for. The head coach is such a spaz, though, that I think they'll blow it. He'll blow it before they even get there. But that's a team. Washington's a team. They're young, but, you know, I got to keep an eye on them, too. And they got, you know, Gilmore from the Saints. So, I got to keep an eye on them too. Those are teams that, you know, to me, Atlanta, not too much. I think Atlanta is a product of that bad division. But those are the teams in the NFC that I'm looking at. And don't sleep on the Rams. All right, fellas?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Three in a row.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on the Rams. That's one that's going to come out of the weeds on you.
Yeah, and you got to remember, the Rams only played with their top two receivers against us for that first half. And they about a 10 plays until Puka got thrown out of the last game. So if they get healthy and their defense is young, and, well, Stafford, to me, he, you know, we'll see if he stays healthy. But that team you got to watch. I'm thinking that division, you know, what they're all 4-4 or 4-5 or whatever. They're all right there. Anybody could get that game. So we'll see. I'm not impressed as I was with San Francisco, though, by injury, age, and just – I just think they peaked last year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but don't forget the Arizona Cardinals, too.
No, you're right. You're right.
But they're moving up.
We'll see what the 49ers look like this week when I assume Christian McCaffrey will be back. They could be a different team once he returns.
Yeah, but they lost Ayuk for the year, and that, to me, that's going to hurt them, and that's a big loss because he's really their healthy offensive player until he tore his knee up. So,
he hasn't done anything before he got hurt. He got that big contract and kind of disappeared.
Yeah, but he would have showed up as the season went on. That's what they do. You get the contract, you rest a while, and then you start playing. But anyway, he's gone, so we don't have to worry about it. Jameson Williams on the way back, fellas. Jameson Williams is on the way back. The question is, though, the offense purred without him. Are we making too much of J-Mo's contribution to this team?
Well, the last 2 weeks we are.
I just think he takes away balls from LaPorta.
You know what? I think they're distributed fine, and he adds one thing that nobody else can, and that's that speed, and it's breakaway speed every play.
Yeah,
yes, he
I don't
does.
Know about homed without him. I mean, the Tennessee game was one thing, but they only scored 24 points against the Packers, and one of those was a defensive touchdown. So
in the rain.
Sam LaPorta only had 2 for 28 against the Packers. Like, let's relax.
Right. Well, how many times did they throw, Roddy? Because the problem, come on, they didn't throw that much. You know?
Yeah, okay, they never throw that much. We said that all season.
Yeah, well, like I said, I think J-Mo is one of those guys that the name is bigger than the production. Who has more touchdowns? I told this to Michael here the other day. Who has more touchdowns, Jameson Williams or Khalif Raymond?
Oh, Kenny.
I'm just putting it out there. You know, y'all jocking J-Mo. He has the same number of touchdowns as Khalif Raymond. And, you know, half the time. So.
Half the time? He's played less games.
No, I'm saying that half the time. Raymond doesn't play that many plays on offense.
Yeah, but J-Mo doesn't play many games.
Well,
all the time.
If you add the number of plays up, I guarantee he played more plays than Khalif. But anyway, that's just a fun fact for the fans out there. All right, gentlemen, we're going to Houston, a team that 4 or 5 weeks ago I thought might have been a Super Bowl contender, but I think the shine has come off a little bit on them a little bit. I think especially on the quarterback. I saw him at Ohio State, so I know he was just he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's elite, and I think it's always going to be that way. But the shine's off a little bit on that team. They do have Mixon. It's a good runner. So this would be a good test on Sunday Night Football for the Detroit Lions. Michael?
Oh, yeah. I thought Nick was up. Yeah, I think it is. It's, look, anytime you play on the road, and anytime you play on the road at night, you know, one of the prime games, I think it means a little more than the others. And the Lions have handled them all well. I mean, nothing seems to faze that team, who they play, where they play, when they play, how they play. And I think we'll see more of the same against Houston.
And Roddy, you think that's the big move?
I mean, I'm not sure we'll see Nico Collins, probably their best receiver. He's been out for a few games, so he's eligible to return against the Lions. I'm not sure he will. Look, they had the lead against the Jets. I know it wasn't pretty on halftime on Thursday Night Football, and then Aaron Rodgers kind of saved the Jets season. So if that game goes a little differently, then they're winners of like five of their last six or something like that. So I mean, they've had extra rest. They played last Thursday. Now they're playing a home game on Sunday night. This is, I mean, it's a big game for them because it doesn't get any more prime time than this, hosting the Lions on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, and it's interesting that the way the schedule works out, you're going to play Houston, Jacksonville, and Indy. You're going to play that whole division the next 3 weeks. So this is the AFC. The AFC run through. You won't be losing any tiebreakers against NFC teams. So you got three AFC teams, and then you come home for Chicago for the Thanksgiving Day game. This is the third quarter of the season. You got four games: Houston, Jacksonville, Indy, and Chicago. You're at Indy and at Houston, home Jacksonville, home Chicago. Mike, what would be acceptable out of those four? 3-1? 2-2?
Nothing less than 3-1. Nothing less.
And Roddy?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think if they go 3-1, you'd be good with that. But I think they got a possibility to go 4-0. If they get the Houston one to me is the toughest. They get the Houston one, then I want to see a sweep of that four. Definitely want to see a sweep of that four. So
well, if they win the first one, they'll have a chance.
Right, exactly. Yeah. All right, gentlemen, that's going to be the podcast this week. We did it a day later. We waited for after the trade deadline to get it in. We'll be going back on Monday starting next week. Any closing thoughts, Nick Roddy?
No, not really. I mean, we'll see what Darius Smith brings on Sunday. It's going to be interesting to see if he brings any juice on that pass rush because we'll need to get to C.J. Stroud a little bit. This is a better offense than I think they've showed the last couple of weeks.
And Mike?
I want to see the new pass rusher rush, you know, the quarterback and make not just have a good game against Houston, but show what the Detroit Lions have coming from that position the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. And I want to see another
Jack Campbell.
I was going to say, I want to see another Jack Campbell game because to me, me and you right there on the same page. I think Jack Campbell is playing real good ball the last three or four games, and I want to see his improvement because every week he's getting better and better. And he made that big fourth down stop in the Green Bay game. And I just think that he's quiet and, you know, he ain't running around like J-Mo in front of a microphone every 5 seconds. But I think he's playing real, real good football.
So, you just had to do it, didn't you?
Well, look, man, has J-Mo met a microphone he hadn't liked? I mean, for somebody who's been suspended, he's been suspended every other. He's everywhere. He's been suspended every time you turn around. But any microphone, he'll jump right in front of it. So yeah. Anyway, he's not a bad kid. I'm just egging him on a little bit because he's a little rambunctious. So we'll see. All right, gentlemen, will join us here Friday for our predictions for the game. Enjoy the rest of the week, and thank you guys for listening to the K&M podcast on WJR. Alex Anzalone on Mondays at 4:30. Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right.
All right, Tim.
See ya.
See you, Nick.
Bye, Mike.